I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a very warm welcome to friends upstairs. It's good to see you all come. And friends downstairs also. Every time we meet in peace, thank God. For we never know when it will be the last time, your last time. For what shall be on the morrow, we do not even know that. So let's learn the lesson of trust. Tonight, the subject is, was Belfast worth it? I didn't know much about Belfast except as a name until I went there. Most of us would have heard of the troubles in Belfast, where the Roman Catholics and the Protestants have been fighting a civil war for the past 25 to 30 years. When I was there, it was relatively calm and peaceful. You call that the calm before the storm. And after I left, then big explosions began. But we're not interested in the politics of Belfast. Tonight, my question to you is this. Do you know the God of salvation is also interested in your career, in what you do, where you go, how you succeed, or how you fail? We have a God who is interested, and He does things His way, not always the way we think. Oftentimes we prescribe our own careers without reference to the Lord. Are you doing that? My dear friends, please understand the Lord knows all your needs and He has a plan for you. Are you consulting Him? He may not do exactly as you feel He should do. In the hymn we are going to sing at closing by a man called William Cowper or Cooper. He suffered from severe depression at times to the extent that he wanted to take his own life, wondering what is the purpose of life. Is there anyone here who has been through that experience? I can say yes, absolutely yes. There are many in our midst. When you are faced with difficulties that you cannot handle and you come to your wit's end, along the way you consider, what is the use of living? William Cooper had that kind of experience and he wrote the song we are going to sing later. I just introduce two verses to you. He says, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. The word here is trust. Are you trusting the Lord who is absolutely trustworthy? Do not manage your own affairs and run your own lives the way you think it ought to be. But every day look to Him, every day consult with Him. Every day commit your way to Him. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. Sometimes you think, well, where is God? Does He really care for me? Things don't seem to go well with me. And we are going to study two characters later on. Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph of the coat of many colors, sold away for silver in a marketplace in Cairo, maybe, Egypt, and there he's put up for sale. Where is my God? Stanza 4 says, His purposes will ripen fast. unfolding every hour. You may not know God's plan. Indeed, we do not know. But I say, be patient. Be patient. When I went to Belfast, the day I left was a great send-off, almost like a hero, you know, going to the war. But I tell you, it was like an exile being sent to some unknown land. It was the saddest day in my life. So it says here, His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Tonight the lesson is trust. Are you trusting? Let me turn you to a verse of the Bible. Please turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. Just two verses, and we read together for your benefit, for your blessing, and for our benefit together. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well known, those of you who go to Anglo-Chinese school, it's written in the on the wall of the assembly hall. I do not know. Maybe they have taken it away, but in my days. Let's read it together. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Together, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Wonderful verses. Again, once more together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How wonderful, how reassuring to know that my God not only saves my soul, but He is very interested, concerned, and He has a plan for me, for my earthly life, for my career, for my studies, for my business, for my family life. Every aspect of your life, God is interested. Now, dear friends, I mentioned Joseph. Would you like to turn with me to the book of Genesis? And there are precious lessons in every verse for all of us to take note. You may be in a difficult situation today. I dare say many of you are facing difficulties. That is part of life, is it not? How are you coping? Genesis 39. Here is this young man, 17 years of age, sold for silver, a slave in the marketplace of Egypt. And what does he think about it? What do you think about it? What future is there for a slave boy in a marketplace, in a foreign land, away from parents? Verse 2. The Lord was with him. That makes all the difference. I ask you, therefore, dear friends, is the Lord with you? This is the whole point of our meeting here tonight. Not nothing about Belfast. What is Belfast? Why should I tell you about Belfast? I'm telling you about the God who sent me to Belfast. About the God who was with me. Even as He was with Joseph in Egypt. And there He dealt with him. He blessed him. And He promoted him. In verses 2 and 3, twice we are told, the Lord was with him. How wonderful. Is the Lord with you, dear friends? That is what matters. Don't try and drive your own ship. Steer your own course. Plan your own life without reference to God. God is interested. But more important, God is able. He's able to direct your footsteps, to give you the desires of your heart, provided you come to Him. Now, read on to verse 21. Here we see Joseph in prison. Yeah, because of Mrs. Potiphar. You know the story, of course. And there he was thrown into prison, wrongly accused. Nevertheless, the Lord was with him, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Then you go on to verse 23. Again, the last part of it says, the Lord was with him And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. What business are you in? What career are you aiming for? What studies are you involved in? I say to all you young people, boys and girls, everyone here, whatever you do, think of the Lord. Refer to him morning, noon and night, and see if he will not make a difference in your life. For he is concerned, and he is able, and he is anxious to help you. The problem is never with him, you know. The problem is not with God. The problem is we do not consult God. We do not think he can do very much for us. We think we know best. I say, how sad, how sad. Right, that is the story of Joseph. And Joseph was what? 17 years old. Thrown into prison, by that time possibly 20 something. But when he was 30, that made a difference. God promoted him to the court of the Pharaoh to be at his right hand. How wonderful. Can God do it again? In your life? In my life? Don't underestimate what God can do. But the thing is, we must come to him in faith. Now the story next I want to share with you is Daniel. We shared with you this some weeks ago. Please turn to Daniel. Again, similar circumstances. A young Jew, taken away, captive, exiled to a foreign land called Babylon. Not Egypt this time. Egypt is south, Babylon is to the east. And there we find him, a young man, together with three others. And now the king has an eye on them. But how will you succeed? It is good to have a king interested in you, that is good. But will you succeed? Daniel, purpose in his heart. We'll look at verse 5. The king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat, the food, the diet, and the wine, and you'll be one of us. Integrate, integrate. This is the keynote, key word today. Indonesia wants the Indonesian Chinese to integrate. And they change their names. Same in Thailand. Integrate. Be one of us. Adopt our names. And here the four young men were all given Babylonian names. And to eat Babylonian food, to adopt Babylonian customs, and integrate. Do you? The Lord says to us, don't. You're in the world, but not of the world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Do not integrate with the world. You want success, yes, but not at that price. Here is verse 5. Please see again. The king appointed them a daily provision of the food and the wine and the drink and the society, and you will get on fast. That is the whole idea. This is the tenor of today's living in Singapore. Everybody wants to get along quick. Go where? Orchard Road. Integrate. Be one of them. You will succeed. I say, dear friends, there is something better than that. Something more powerful than the forces of society. So nourishing them 3 years. I say 3 years seems to speak to me because I was sent away to UK for 3 years. Also, the same idea. We all got to go through a certain amount of training. And for me, it happened to be Belfast. And there you train, after that, London. That's it. All right? Look at the map. On the top left is Belfast, the capital of Northern Ireland. Ireland has got two political divisions. The north, which I've circled on the top, is called Ulster, or Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, which is mainly Protestant, and they want to remain Protestants. They do not want to be Roman Catholic. But the south is the Republic of Ireland, which is largely 95% Roman Catholic. So that is why there is a Belfast there. So until 1955, I had no idea at all about a place called Belfast. But after that, it became my home for about 3 years. At the bottom right, that big black blob is London. People all know about London. Few people know about Belfast. All right, and now, I was sent there for 3 years. Like Daniel and his friends, 3 years. The king says, now you young people, we'd like to train you and build you up and promote you so that you can become one of us and stand in the royal court and be useful citizens in the foreign country of Babylon. Where is Babylon today? Iraq. Oh, it's a wonderful place, you know. Very historic, very rich, rich in resources, in commodities, especially today it's rich in oil. But in those days, different. Now, read on. For 3 years, they were to be trained and go through a regime of integration. So at the end, they might stand before the king. How about that? Most young people will welcome the idea. We integrate and then we become great. Ah, not Daniel. Verse 8. But Daniel, I said, dear friends, thank God for the word but. We must all learn to use the word no or but. An idea is presented to you. You be part of the show. Learn from the world. Integrate with the world. And then you will progress fast. I say yes and no. For a while you may progress. For a while you may prosper. For a while you may become somebody. But promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. Please, as Christian young people, as Christian people, never forget, we are not of the world. In the world, yes, we can't help it, we are here, we are put here for a purpose, but we are not of the world. And therefore, we are to distinguish, differentiate and not integrate with the world. Daniel purposed in his heart. Verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart. Did you purpose in your heart? There are so many young people today go overseas. You know, in my day when I went to Belfast, it was a great event. So rare, so exceptional. My father thought it was wonderful. He chartered a bus and went to get all his friends, 40 of them, to come and send away this fellow to exile. How about that? Today, at the drop of a hat, everybody goes overseas. Every week we got to pray for about 20 of our people, of our young people, in all kinds of places, from Germany to England to Denmark to Finland to America to Canada to Australia to every place. All our people are everywhere studying, studying, studying. Amazing. In those days, very rare. But Daniel purposed in your heart, in his heart. I said, dear friends, if there is nothing that you learn tonight, learn one thing properly. And that is verse 8. Look at it, please. Daniel 1, verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart. Have you got a heart? See, of course I got a heart. Does your heart belong to God? Does your heart think of God? Purpose in your heart means, I am the Lord's. I belong to Him. I'm not my own. He has purchased me at a great cost. And He owns me. I belong to Him. Therefore, I purpose in my heart, whatever I do, I say, young people, boys and girls, you don't say, I'm too young to purpose in my heart. I say, you're never too young. If you know how to call father and mother and to love them, you are not too young. Every one of us here, purpose in the heart to say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and I determine to be a good witness for Him wherever I go. It's so sad to see our young people go to New York, Canada, Toronto, Montreal. And after 2 years, they stop going to church. They get very smart by then. or they have topped the class, they excelled in the studies, and they've forgotten all about their roots and their heritage. I say, how sad. How can you prevent it? I don't know. I only know that we try our best here. Give them the Word of God. Teach them from kindergarten to Sunday school and up to the fellowships. And hopefully, it's not easy. It's not easy because the world is too strong. Satan is too powerful, too subtle, too cunning, and too deceptive. And he comes in and says, never mind, never mind. Join in the fun. Be one of us. And this is the problem today. So many of the young people fall by the wayside by the time they finish and come back with their PhDs. They're no longer believers. What do they believe? Believe in themselves, in evolution, in all kinds of false doctrines. How sad. Now it's happening. That is why this series, of footprints, is to tell you, dear friends, what God has done in one life, He can do again in many lives. Only Daniel 1:8. Purpose in your heart. Think through what you want really. Meditate through. Consider all the pros and cons. And pray through. And ask God, please show me the real values. What am I living on earth for? Is it just to get a lot of degrees and earn a lot of money and then make myself a place on earth and then that's the end of it? Oh, my friends, that is what Satan wants you to believe. What Satan wants all our young people to believe. And I say we must take, therefore, measures at Sunset Gospel, in our Sunday school, in our fellowships, in our preaching, in our living, to show that God can do in our lives what we cannot do. And He has a purpose. So I said, please take home with you Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would not integrate into the society of Babylon. He will make himself different. Why? Because he is different. Because he doesn't belong there. I say, dear friends, you can go to a far away place and never go with the idea, now I'm free to do what I like. Nobody's watching. No elders, no deacons of the church watching me. No Sunday school teacher. Now I can do what I like. I said, you are wrong. You are wrong. God is with you. God is watching. Purpose in your heart, therefore, that you will not defile yourself with the way that they eat, the way that they drink, the wine, the way they dine and dance. That's not your cup of tea. I say, can God preserve a young person to go through university without polluting himself, without integrating himself into that society? Is that possible? Answer is yes, provided you have a purpose. And you purpose in your heart and say, I will stand for the Lord. I am here for a purpose and I will be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come what may, you go to university, God will preserve you, not otherwise. Then what does God do? When you purpose in your heart, then verse 17 says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skills in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had, in addition, understanding of all visions and dreams. God can do for you what you never thought He could do, you know. Please don't underestimate our God. We have a wonderful God. So, dear friends, Joseph and Daniel give us plenty of assurance and encouragement. You do not worry if you are in the minority. Even if no one else in your class, no one else in your university will stand with you, you stand alone. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Yes. So that is, Joseph rose to the highest, taking a stand. Daniel rose to the highest. He served four kings. Each one in his turn, they rise and they fall, rise and fall. But Daniel was there, advisor to four kings. How wonderful. Now, let me tell you from my story, my life story. Graduated 2 years. I said, why do you serve the Lord? And being tied down in the university or government hospital is a bit too restricted. I will be a GP. But God has other plans. So, 1955, the Lord opened a door. Not of my choosing. Dear friends, I want to impress on you, I did not plan to go to Belfast. But it was by chance. You call it chance? I said, no, by the direction and the leading of God, I heard my senior lecturer, a man from Belfast, asking another colleague, yes, most of you have heard it, but no harm I tell you a second time, because it is interesting. I was passing by the doctor's tea room and he was asking this, Dr. Chan, I have an appointment available in Belfast. Would you like to go and train for obstetrics and gynecology? He says, I'm not interested. I heard this. Okay. Came back. I said, Dr. Roddy, is that post available? He said, oh, are you interested? I said, yes. So in 2 weeks' time, I got the job. I go to Belfast. Dear friends, before that, I had prayed. My wife and I prayed. I said, Lord, my feeling is to go and be a GP, general practitioner. You are free to do what you like, and you have plenty of time to do God's work, and you can do much, much more than being tied down to the KK hospital. So we prayed. What did we pray? I said, Lord, now this is the Gideon's fleece test. Gideon's fleece. Remember, Gideon says, Lord, if you really want me, I put this piece of fleece tonight in the open. And if it is wet in the morning and dry around it, then that is a sign. He got the sign. He says, Lord, sorry, let me try again. This time, Lord, if you really want me to be your servant, I'll put the same fleece, but this time, wet outside and dry inside. And God did it again. I said, Lord, if you really want me to go to study, be a gynecologist, please lead me to a job that allows me to be trained. In those days, you can sit in Kandan Kerba Hospital for all your life, but you cannot be a specialist because it is not recognized. Okay? Understand? So we set God the Gideon fleece test. And within 2 months of the 6 months limit, I said, God, I give you 6 months. If you want me to be a gynecologist, get me a place to train. Kandan Kabao Hospital is no good. I must get a place that is recognized. In 2 months, the answer came. That's why I went to Belfast. 1955. I showed you that picture. I'll show you again. Show you that picture. Where is it?
Can you see the hero? Wow. Not the hero, but exile. Being sent away in exile. There I was in the center. 40 people came along with my father. He was, of course, very proud to have a son that can go overseas. So that is set off. I tell you, that was the saddest day in my life. The saddest day.
When the 40 people have gone home, you climb on the aircraft called the BOAC, is sit down. All your 40 relatives have disappeared. You're alone. What happens then? Wow, I tell you, the homesickness is tremendous. You wish you never were there and go home. When our plane landed in Colombo that afternoon, we were taking on a tour of Colombo. Every street looks like Serangoon Road. You know the Tech Kai area? Full of Indians. And the houses are the same. The coconut trees are the same as in Serangoon. And I almost told the bus man, hey, stop, I want to get down and go home. Wow, because it's so, the acuteness of the homesickness was terrible. That exactly how I felt. Then, when I arrived in Belfast, June, July is the height of summer. Every day I feel cold, cold, cold. Out of the hot frying pan of Singapore, you go into the refrigerator in Belfast. Every day I think of home. Every day I long for home. Every day I want to go home. Even the food, I can't take it. On Saturday, what do they give you? Salads. I never ate salad in my life. Only rabbits eat salad. So, when I went to the doctor's kitchen, wow, Saturday afternoon, that's the time when at home I have a grand warm meal, maybe char kway teow or something, you know. Here you get salad. I told the maid, I said, please bring me a frying pan. They said, what for? Don't ask, lah. Just bring me frying pan. Put all the salads in to fry the salad. They nearly collapsed. These are the things. I could not get used to the diet. It took me one whole month. In the meantime, I wrote home. I said, please, Cheng Yim, I cannot take the diet. Send me this, that, and the other. So she packed up one thing and sent by air. Wow, so expensive. Anyway, when I got it, I had got used to the Belfast diet. I couldn't eat the Singapore diet. So that is Belfast. I arrived there in July. By December, my mother-in-law passed away suddenly, heart attack. Just in 3 days, she was gone. That was the saddest blow after my own mother passed away 10 years before that. But to have two mothers pass away, I really wept and cried in that solitude of Belfast by myself. For 3 years, I never came home. Almost 3 years, not quite, but 2.5 years. Not once. Today, you know, everybody sends children away. Every vacation, they come back. How is it that those days, they say, do you enjoy Belfast so much you didn't want to come home? I said, no. One trip takes you 4 months' salary and you cannot afford it. One trip in those days to come back and forth is $3,400. Today, you take one trip Singapore, London, back and forth, $1,200, $1,500, right? Yeah. Those days, you cannot afford it. So you just don't come. Come home, you just grit your teeth and bear it and cry by yourself. How about telephone calls? Today, everybody is like this. SMS. Everybody. In those days, you don't make phone calls overseas. It's so expensive. It's so expensive. I made 3 calls in 3 years. Because 1 minute is £1. £1 is $8.60. And you don't earn that much money anyway. So we don't make phone calls. Besides, my wife says, don't make. Every time you call, I hear your voice, I keep crying only. And all your money is wasted. So what for? Don't call. So okay, what do we do? I tell you, homesickness is the most terrible sickness you can ever have. But it is a good sickness. A very good sickness. If a fellow goes overseas and never has homesickness, there's something wrong with him. Yeah. He has lost his love for the home. This is very sad. So, every day, how to get rid of homesickness. I drew up a chart. A piece of paper. I ruled into squares. 800 squares. Why? 2 years is 730 days, and I had about 3 years, so okay. Every day I look at the square and cross out one square and see the squares grow. This is a little bit of a psychological game that I was playing. And then when you finish, wow, suddenly 1 year, one third gone. I said, praise God, the squares are growing. I know my time of release and from this detention is coming at least halfway through or one third way through. So, you play those games? Try it, huh? If you go away, try it. But I tell you, dear friends, the mainstay when you are far away and homesick is, as Joseph record says, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. I went there with my Bible, and the Bible is morning and night. You read the Word of God by yourself. During the 2.5 years, my room was just about 10 feet by 12 feet, a very small room with a single bed, a study table, one little wardrobe, one chair, and no heating. You know, in Belfast, when they don't have heating, it's like an ice box. How do you keep warm in a room that has no heating? I tell you, I ask you how. Jump on the spot. Run. When you don't have external heating, you have internal heating. So you just keep on running until you're hot, you're warm. Okay, these are tricks you learn as you go along. By December, I received the news. My wife gave birth to a boy. Wow, that was happy. So, from sadness to happiness. But I never saw my son for 2 years and 3 months. By the time I came home, he looked at me like a stranger. That is the price you got to pay. Even my daughter had forgotten me. So, there are things you got to expect and accept. Yes, you don't have it your way, every way. 1956, homesickness. And the cure for homesickness is to keep busy, keep busy, keep busy. So I had a plan of study, and I had a little booklet where I recorded the day's effort. How have I done for that day? 60% means bad. I always aim at 95%. Meaning to say, in that day, I've been faithful in my Bible reading, faithful in my work, and I assign myself a reading program. Finish my reading, do well, do my summaries, my notes. Very well today, 90%. I work myself. Of course, you've got to be honest, and you get through. In early 1957, remember I told you when I joined KK Hospital, I was number 8 on the list. At the very top is Professor Benjamin Shears, number 1. Then there's Dr. Roddy and 5 others of the local doctors, all of them waiting to be specialists so that they can climb that ladder up towards the top. And there was myself, number 8. In 1957, early, I got the news. The Kandan Kerbau Hospital was turned down, rejected, cannot train. You can stay there for all your life, but you cannot be a specialist, you understand? You can train, but you cannot be. You can go to London, they say, hey, where do you train? KK Hospital. Sorry, you cannot sit the exam. That's it. When I got the news, that was electrifying news, because I knew all my friends, my colleagues, my seniors, the one who was directing me, they cannot sit the exam, and all of them packed their bags and came to England. Now you see, God does things not according to plan, but God plan. All of them were then either in England or Scotland or somewhere studying the same thing that I had done. I had finished already 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, or maybe 1 year already when they came. So, 1957, a great change came in Kandan Kerbau Hospital. 1959, by that time I had finished my training and I got the exclamation means, wow, success. Yeah, MRCOG. By then, you finish, you accomplish what you went there to do. So you go back. And when I went back to the Kandan Kerbau Hospital, all my colleagues had gone to England. You see, dear friends, did you trust in the Lord in what you do? Yes. God did it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get them to go. They were all my seniors. And I tell you one story. The very next man next to Professor Shears was the one who directed me and the one I had to report to every day. I went to visit him in London. He was training. And he was doing the most junior officer's work. And he told me his experience in the exam. He failed. He says, "Sangwa, you know, in the exam for the MRCOG, if I write enough, they can't read my writing. And if I try to write everything, I find I can't finish writing. My writing is so bad, I can't read it myself." So, he failed. Because even though you have knowledge, you can't write it. Poor man. He failed. And he came home. And then he suddenly found he had to work under me. So sad. And one day, he took his own life. Very sad. So, these things I tell you as things that can happen in real life when people do not have the basis of a spiritual support, of God being with him. So this is just by the way. 1959, 1960, went to work one day. I've told you this before, this is a repetition. One day I arrived in the office and the news, Professor Shears was not working that day. What happened? Resigned. And without my having to work for it, I had an empty chair for me to sit. And the department was yours at your feet. Thank God, during the 3 years in England, having heard in 1957 that my colleagues had exited to England, I prepared. For obviously, it was clear that if I returned home, the work would be mine. So I prepared. God enabled me to prepare in Belfast. All the things that you have to do when you go back to KK Hospital. And God was gracious because when I got to Belfast, our workload was 2,000 deliveries a year. In KK Hospital, it was 40,000 deliveries a year, of which half was my share, which is 20,000. Can you imagine? From 20 down to 2,000, so you have a lot of time to prepare, to study, and to really get in-depth studies. God is great, dear friends. I want to close with two verses. Please turn with me, the time is up. Psalm 75 is a wonderful psalm. Verses 6 and 7, we read this and we will close with the hymn that I mentioned just now. Together we read Psalm 75 verses 6 and 7 for your benefit and your blessing. Together please. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is the judge. Now, we come to the very last line, 1969. People who spend half their lifetime working very hard to get to the top, and then spend the rest of their life sitting at the top. In 1969, I was in the chair for those years. I sent in my resignation. People thought, "You are mad." I said, "Yes, for God's work, I'm mad." Yes. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. I said, I had a vow in 1938. I want to serve the Lord. In this Kandang Kerbau University situation, you are committed to death. You sit on about a dozen or more committees. And the whole day is meeting, delivering, operating, and the rest of the time traveling. In 1 year, I had to travel about 6 months because of all the overseas appointments. I say, "Hey, in the rest of my life I spend this for the sake of the university, someone else can do equally well. You don't need me. But I am going to do something that someone else cannot do. That is what? To serve the Lord. I have promised the Lord, I want to serve him. In this situation, I cannot serve the Lord. Every day you are serving the government, the university, and of course patients, which is all right. But I say, there are so many. By the time I came to resign, we had 7 MRCOGs trained in the department itself, all trained homemade ones, ready to take over from me. When I came onto the scene, I was the only one. Now there are 7. Today there are 15 looking after what? Again, 2,000 deliveries. Kanagaba Hospital, University Department, 2,000. How many specialists? 15. So I said, goodbye. 1969. You people can do the same job much better than I do. I'm going out to do something you cannot do. I'm going to serve the Lord. So I say, dear friends, put your hands in the hands of the Lord, in the nail-pierced hands, and allow Him to direct your footsteps. Allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to direct you. And He will see to it that you will be fully recompensed, fully rewarded, fully satisfied. When it comes to the end, there will be no regrets. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, teach us the lesson of trust. To know that we have a God who knows all our needs and who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.